sometimes. The person gets up here, shall I say, with a little misgivings. I want to read a little bit out of the scriptures and ask you, have you looked forward, shall I say, to the hereafter? We all think about it sometimes. When we get to going about our daily walk of life, how many of us think about the hereafter? You know, it's some place we're all going to go. And this is our day of probation. And if we neglect it now, it's going to be forever too late. I'm going to read to you a little bit out of Alma, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 17. I'm going to read quite a few of them. And I want you to stop and listen, or if you've got a book, open it and follow through with me. Alma, the 9th chapter, I'm going to read starting with verse 17, and I'll read it with you and my thoughts. And therefore, he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth a lesser portion of the word. You know, sometimes we see some that we think has received a lesser portion of the word, and it ain't because they're so hard-hearted, but because they're just naturally neglectful. But this here means those that really get hard-hearted, so they receive a lesser portion of the word. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given a greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until they know them in full. Now you know, I can safely say that there ain't a one in this room, including myself, that knows the mysteries of God in full. So we've got a long ways to go, and we strive to go through that we might get ourselves in a way so that we might know the mysteries of God in full. And they that will harden their hearts, to them is given the lesser portion of the word, until they know nothing concerning the mysteries. And then they are taken captive by the devil and led by his will down to destruction. That shows, shall I say, again, if we don't follow our master's word, then if we know a lesser part, when we come down till the devil takes us captive and we're led down to destruction, that's pretty final doom. This is what is meant by the chains of hell. And Amulek hath spoken plainly concerning death and being raised from this mortality to a state of immortality, and being brought before the bar of God to be judged according to our works. There's one scripture that I was going to look up and I didn't. And it says, have you looked forward to this mortality, being raised in immortality? I'm going to turn over and interrupt into that reading a little bit and turn to 1 Corinthians and read you a little bit in it. First Corinthians 15. We're going to begin with verse 42. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Showing that in this resurrection, we'll be, shall I say, buried a mortal body, we'll be raised a spiritual body. And this is what Alma is talking about here, just in reading. Then if our hearts have been hardened, yea, if we have hardened our hearts against the word, insomuch that it has not been found in us, then will our state be awful. For then we shall be condemned. For our words will condemn us, yea, all our works will condemn us, and we shall not be found spotless. And our thoughts will also condemn us. And in this awful state, we shall not dare to look up to our God. And we would fain be glad if we could command the rocks and the mountains to fall upon us and hide us from His presence. But this cannot be. We must come forth and stand before Him in His glory, and in His power, and in His might, majesty, and dominion, and acknowledge to our everlasting shame that all His judgments are just. That He is just in all His works, that He is merciful unto the children of men, and that He has all power to save every man that believeth on His name and bringeth forth fruit meet for repentance. I want you to especially note that last. He has all power to save those that bring forth fruit meet for repentance. And we read in many places where we must learn and obey His commandments to bring forth that fruit meet for repentance. And if we do not, we've been told, I think, many times over of His commandments. And a lot of times, people get the commandments that are specified back in the Law of Moses. They call it the Ten Commandments. They was. But they was back in the Law of Moses. If you study the New Testament, you'll find 9 of those commandments. Shall I say magnified? A little bit more strict than there was back in the Ten Commandments under the Mosaic Law. Those 9 that are in the New Testament, we better listen to, as well as many of the commandments written by holy men of God. His prophets. I'm not talking about some in this day and age that claim to be prophets, put out stuff and call it a prophecy from God when it is not. That's something that a fellow could go into pretty deep, but I'm not going to do it this morning. I'm going to turn back over to the second book of Nephi, and I'm going to read a little bit out of it to you. Chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse 65. I'm going to read a little bit there. The Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's talking about the Spirit of God. And shall I say that our spirits can be enticed either by the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the devil, whichever way we want to go. But here it says the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free. Don't cost you any money. Maybe some say, well, I've got to do this, or I've got to do that on Sunday, or else I'm going to lose this money or that money. But that money won't buy salvation. Salvation cannot be bought with money, property. Only can be obtained by our works. If our works are not sufficiently correct, we will not get salvation. But it's free as far as money is concerned. All we got to do is work for it. And men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil. And now that doesn't cut down and say, well, he knows good from evil, but this one don't understand and he don't know it. It says all men. That don't leave anybody else. And the law is given unto men. And by the law, no flesh is justified, or by the law, men are cut off. Yea, by the temporal law, they were cut off, and also by the spiritual law, they perish from that which is good and become miserable forever. Wherefore, redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth. Behold, he offereth himself a sacrifice for sin, to answer the ends of the law, and to all those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and unto none else than the ends of the law the answer. I want to enlarge on that just a little bit. It says, unto all who have a broken heart, and a contrite spirit. If we have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, it's not going to be hard for us to keep the commandments of Christ. But if we're a little hard-hearted or a little stubborn in some of our ways, we're going to find some of them commandments, ain't going to quite agree with our thoughts. And if they don't agree with our thoughts, we're not going to keep them very good. And then what are we going to offer for an excuse when we get over there? Stop and think it over. I'm going to turn over a page or so here. Read you a little bit more out of that same chapter. I'm going to turn over two pages. Starting with verse 117. Redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil. To act for themselves, and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. We're free. What it's telling us to do as we please. But when we come to the end, if we haven't done according to their commandments, we'll receive the punishment the Lord has, shall I say, set for those who will not mind. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given unto them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great medium of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. Showing that we are free to choose what we want. We can choose righteousness, or we can choose unrighteousness. Going on about captive and power of the devil, for he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my son, I would that ye should look to the great mediator, and hearken unto his great commandments, and be faithful unto his word, and choose eternal life according to the holy, to his Holy Spirit. Let me read that last again. And be faithful unto his words, and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit. Makes a little difference whether it's the will of his Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit, because it is his will that we turn and follow him and his teachings, or whether we follow the devil. Maybe this brings things down to a harsh, shall I say, ending. Not that I'm through reading to you yet. I've got a little more that I want to read to you. Because I have been reading to you, showing that we must each of us choose. We have our own free agency. We can choose good or bad. But over here in Alma, he shows us a little bit more. It says, now I need not rehearse the matter. What I have said may suffice. Behold, the scriptures are before you. If you will rest them, it shall be to your own destruction. Not somebody else, but your own. If you rest to twist them or don't pay any attention to them, it'd be to your own destruction. Of course, the example that we set before somebody else might cause somebody else to stumble and be to their destruction. But that, shall I say, is up to the other fellow too, whether to follow on. I don't believe I told you where that was from. That is found in Alma, the 10th chapter, verses 16 and 17. I'm going to go back to Mosiah and read a chapter, and then going back to Alma again. Mosiah, chapter 1. And here he's talking about the scripture. Just the same as we have the scriptures before us, only that most of the scriptures that they had there was the writings of Nephi and some of the others on down to that time, besides the plates of brass. And they all give him a knowledge of the scripture if they would stop, look, and listen, and pay attention. Mosiah chapter 1, verse 7. I say unto you, my son, were it not for these things which have been kept and preserved by the hand of God, that we might read and understand of his mysteries and have his commandments always before our eyes, that even our fathers would have dwindled in unbelief. And if even our fathers would have dwindled in unbelief, what of us? You know, sometimes I think that farther back in the history of this country, the people as a whole, not everyone, but majority, should I say, instead of a whole, paid more attention to religion and the ways of Christ than they do today. You don't hear talking on the street much about religion anymore. More of sports and a good time than it is about Christ and his ways. I'm going to turn back to Alma, the 5th chapter. If we, as a people, as a nation, turn more to sports and afraid might be a whole lot like it was with the Romans. You know, they turned much to sports before their downfall. This nation could do the same thing. If we, as a people, turn more to God, we can, shall I say, rely upon him for protection in the day of trouble. Some will fall, but others might stand. I'm going to read from the fifth chapter of Alma, verses 27 and 28. And here he is talking to a people. That's why I say, let's believe it. Yea, come and go forth and shew unto your God that ye are willing to repent of your sins and enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments and witness unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism. And whosoever doeth this and keepeth the commandments of God, from thenceforth the same will remember that I say to him. Yea, he will remember that I have said unto him, he shall have eternal life according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit which testifieth in me. I want you to stop to realize here that he's telling them to come forth and enter into a covenant with their maker. Do we realize that we done that when we went into the waters of baptism? That covenant can't be renewed. It can be brought back to our remembrance, and we make up our mind that we will go ahead and fill our part of it. Christ's never going to renege on his side if we keep ours. But if we don't keep our side of the covenant, he's not bound to keep his. And I'm just afraid that lots of people don't realize that sometimes when you stop and look around you. I'm going to turn over to Norman. Can I say for a little lesson to us all? And I don't know how far I'll go with it. In chapter 4, start with verse 57. So then now I speak also concerning those who do not believe in Christ. Behold, when ye believe in the day of your visitation, behold, when the Lord shall come, yea, even with great that great day when the earth shall be rolled together as a scroll, and the elements shall meet with fervent heat. Yea, in that great day when ye shall be brought to stand before the Lamb of God, then will ye say that there is no God? You know, by the actions of some people, we wouldn't think there was any God. But it shows here, he's talking to him then, says, when that great day comes, will you say there's no God? I read to you a while ago where we're all going to say that his judgments are just. Even those that don't believe there is. Then will ye longer deny the Christ, or can ye behold the Lamb of God? Do you suppose that you shall dwell with him under a condition of your guilt? we know we don't need to put all of this to the outsider. No, it says, do you suppose that you shall dwell with him under the consciousness of your own guilt? Let's each of us look at ourselves. Could mean quite a lot. Do you suppose that you could be happy to dwell with that holy being when your souls are wrecked with a consciousness of your guilt, that ye have ever abused his laws? Mormon is writing this to a people that wasn't keeping the commandments of Christ. Do you think the shoe will fit some of us? Behold, I say unto you, that ye would be more miserable to dwell with that holy and just God under a consciousness of your filthiness before him than ye would to dwell with the damned souls in hell. And I'll tell you, from what I have read, it's going to be a little bit miserable down there if we went among the damned souls in hell. And here it says we'd be more miserable to dwell with him in the conscience of our guilt than it would to dwell down there. For behold, when he shall be brought, when ye shall be brought to see your nakedness before God, and also the glory of God and the holiness of Jesus Christ, he will kindle the flame of unquenchable fire upon you. For then the unbelieving turn ye unto the Lord, cry mightily unto the Father in the name of Jesus, that perhaps ye may be found spotless, pure, fair, and white, having been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb at that great and last day. May I say here that that's the only way that any of us will become fair and white is to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But we've all done things. And it's going to take that difference from what we are. And again I speak unto you who deny the revelations of God, and say that they are done away, that there are no revelations, no prophecies, nor gifts, nor healings, nor speaking with tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Behold, I say unto you, he that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Yea, he has not read the scriptures. If so, he does not understand them. And here is where we need discernment. We don't want to say that a prophecy is not of God unless we have discernment revealed to us from God that it is his or is not his. We can't say sometimes because we don't have the discernment. A lot of times we hear a prophecy or a so-called prophecy, and many will say, oh, it's from the Lord. We don't have discernment enough to say for sure one way or the other, we had better not. I would point you to a few places back in the early history of the Restoration. And this might not sound good to some of you, but I can go and get my reorganized history and show you. A lot of times when they could have a meeting, as we would call a conference together, and Joseph gave a revelation, every one of the ministry in the house was raised to their feet to swear the truthfulness of that revelation, and it was from God. And many of them proved false. Now we're up against the same thing today. Has the Spirit of the Lord with us enough to give us discernment to know, are they of the Lord or are they not? Some that come forth, it doesn't take much to show that they're not. But some, you better stop and hesitate about it. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. Now is that there one verse to help us with our discernment? If God is the same now as He was, shall I say, way back in the beginning, does He tell one thing back there and another one now? Are the records that we have here any good to us to judge what comes to us nowadays? But if He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what He tells today will coordinate with what He told us years ago. And now if you have imagined up unto yourselves a God that doth vary, and in Him there is a shadow of changing, then have ye imagined up unto yourselves a God who is not a God of miracles? But behold, I will show unto you a God of miracles, even the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And it is this same God who created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. Behold, He created Adam, and by Adam came the fall of man. And because of the fall of man came Jesus Christ, even the Father and the Son. And because of Jesus Christ came the redemption of man. And because of the redemption of man which came by Jesus Christ, they are brought back into the presence of the Lord. Yea, this is wherein all men are redeemed, because the death of Christ bringeth to pass the resurrection, which bringeth to pass the redemption from an endless sleep, from which sleep all men shall be awoke by the power of God when the trump shall sound. And they shall come forth, both small and great, and all shall stand before His bar, being redeemed and loosed from this eternal band of death, which death is a temporal death. And then cometh the judgment of the Holy One upon them. Then cometh the time that he that is filthy shall be filthy still, and he that is righteous shall be righteous still. He that is happy shall be happy still, and he that is unhappy shall be unhappy still. And now, O all ye that have imagined up unto yourselves a God who can do no miracles, I would ask you, have all these things passed of which I have spoken? Has the end come yet? Behold, I say unto you, nay. And God has not ceased to be a God of miracles. Let's all try hard to keep the commandments.
This evening at 7 o'clock will be Young People's Meeting, and at 8 we have preaching by Bob. Let's close with number 216.